It was really cold, Elizabeth thought. Not that it always wasn't on this day, but there was a particularly biting wind. She wrapped her arms around herself and shivered as they climbed up to the top of the cemetery hill and stopped beneath a tree.
Here.
Lupin handed her his cloak, and she gratefully wrapped herself in it. The night was starless and quite dark, and Lupin left it that way for a moment. To prepare himself, Elizabeth imagined.
Loomis,
he finally muttered, and a lantern appeared in his hand. And he took in a deep breath as they both knelt at the same time. Elizabeth began crying silently, her shoulders shaking, and he put his arm around her and held the lantern up over the stone. A few hours of life, a lifetime of love. John Richard Lupin, February 18th, 1989.
Elizabeth,
Lupin said in a stunned voice as he buried his head on the back of her shoulders.
You gave him my name.
Well,
Elizabeth replied in a bewildered tone.
Who else's name would I give him? It wasn't going to be Fanshawe, and it certainly wouldn't be Victor's name.
I don't mean my surname, he replied quietly. I remember you told me once you liked John better than Remus, and why didn't I use it?
Is that why you signed your letter as you did?
She said musingly.
Yes.
He waved his wand, and a fresh bouquet of yellow tulips sprang up from the snow-covered ground.
Oh, those are beautiful, she said gratefully. They're my favorite.
Lupin tensed suddenly and gripped Elizabeth's shoulders, positioning her directly in front of him.
Don't turn around,
he hissed in her ear.
Don't say anything.
This is very touching, Lupin,
a cold, sneering voice echoed from somewhere behind them. Lupin did not respond.
Not much security at St. Mungo's, I'm afraid,
yawned the disdainful voice of Lucius Malfoy.
Interesting. They put you in charge of capturing me.
And now it seems I've captured you,
he finished nastily.
When I turn around, Lupin whispered to Elizabeth, throw yourself behind the headstone. It's a sacred object. It can't be blasted.
Now, what's with the whispering? Malfoy said impatiently. Are you pining over your bastard child?
Elizabeth drew her breath in very sharply, and Lupin turned around and stood up.
It's a pity, he responded very coldly, that yours won't ever be pining for you.
Elizabeth saw Malfoy standing about 10 feet behind him with his wand pointed directly at Lupin's chest, an insolent sneer on his pale features, and immediately dove behind the tombstone.
Oh, good, very good, Malfoy intoned sarcastically. Sacred object and all that.
Don't think you're telling me something I don't already know, Lupin.
I'll tell him, I suppose, he continued in a bored tone, when he's old enough to be of some use to me.
He'll never be used by you, Lupin replied flatly.
Oh, Malfoy responded sardonically, is that so? How do you presume to know this?
He made me a promise.
Malfoy shrugged. Children's promises are easily broken, and you won't be around to influence him.
Elizabeth, who was shaking violently behind the tombstone, was astonished at how coolly and fiercely Lupin stared him down.
I am not so easily disposed of,
he replied calmly.
Damn, 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 he thought furiously.
That fucker covered his scent, of course. My wand's in my cloak pocket, and Elizabeth's got it on. Have I ever been this stupid in my whole life?
We'll see,
Malfoy smiled unpleasantly.
Avada Kedavra!
Before the words were out of his mouth, Lupin jumped straight up in the air and grabbed an overhanging tree branch, and the spell missed him by an inch and hit the tree, splitting it in two.
Accio wand!
He shouted, and it spun into his hand. Crucio! Malfoy screamed, his face livid, and Lupin dropped himself from the tree limb flat onto his face in the snow. The spell hit the headstone and bounced off of it, deflecting onto the earth, and the flower-covered grass burst open violently as if in pain. Suddenly, the ground itself split open with a fierce crack, and a small coffin was flung 100 feet into the air, and Malfoy's earlier cockiness was replaced with a panicked expression. This is the end, he thought, backed up a foot or two, and stumbled in the snow. Lupin's eyes were blazing with fury.
Avada Kedavra!
He snarled from the ground as he flung out his wand, and the spell hit Malfoy dead center in the chest. He toppled over without a word, still with the frightened expression on his face. Elizabeth jumped up, screaming.
Stay down! Stay down! Lupin shouted. There might be more!
Elizabeth shrank back as half a dozen Death Eaters scurried up the hill. I guess Malfoy wanted to get him himself, Elizabeth thought, but he told the others what to do if he couldn't get it done. Lupin scanned them rapidly as they approached, and Elizabeth broke into sobs. Don't listen to her. Do not listen, Lupin told himself furiously. It'll distract you. Concentrate. The first two to run up the hill were definitely the most intelligent, as they immediately split off in two different directions. To Primo! Lupin yelled and flung his wand out at the ground between them, leaping to the side and rolling over three times as a volley of curses hailed all around him. The ground sunk down at least 30 feet, dragging the two men who were screaming in terror with it. Cuprino! He screamed, and the ground rose and covered the men completely. This quite unnerved the other four, who looked large and rather stupid, and they began blundering towards him, shouting curses which he blocked with one long, sweeping motion and a Hagalo fiend fire! A huge blaze of white-hot fire sprang up between Lupin and the four men, taking the shape of a dragon and chasing them back down the hill. Elizabeth watched with a terrified kind of elation as it swallowed all four of them whole. He's safe. We're safe. But my baby... Lupin ran back over to Elizabeth, whose eyes were frantic and hair was quite wild.
I can't look! She sobbed. I can't look! It's all right. I'll go see. Sit down. I'll be right back.
Lupin said in a firm voice, reminding himself this was the best way to deal with people in shock. Although I'm probably one of them myself, he thought numbly. He hurried about 20 feet away to where the coffin had landed, steeling himself for the sight of skeletal remains. After a few moments of scanning the area by wandlight, he shouted out,
Accio, John Richard Lupin!
Nothing appeared. He turned back and sank down on his knees beside Elizabeth.
I don't know, he said hoarsely and shook his head. He wasn't. There wasn't anyone in there.
He blew him up!
Elizabeth yelled hysterically.
No. A child's remains are just as sacred as the headstone. He couldn't have harmed them. Someone else, somehow, has been here before.
Elizabeth was crying so hard she couldn't speak.
Look, let's get you back, Lupin said quickly and pulled her into his arms.
No, Elizabeth wailed. Someone might come into my room. Solange or my maid. How can I explain?
She broke off in an anguished voice.
It's fine, he replied quietly. We'll go somewhere else for a bit.
Fanshawe Manor, London, England.
It was rather odd, Lupin thought, to be sitting on the Fanshawe's old couch, and from the roaring fire he'd lit up in the fireplace below Richard's gun rack. Here they were in the room where he'd bitten Caroline, and Elizabeth had gone for the gun.
I wasn't going to shoot you, she blurted out, as if she'd read his mind.
I know that,
he replied calmly.
How do you know?
He smiled sadly and wordlessly handed her a piece of chocolate, which she seemed to swallow whole.
Well, I know you're not lying, and I remember how I feel when I'm transformed. I never felt that you were a danger to me. Caroline threw something at me, and I was angry. That's why I bit her.
It was a relief, really, to talk to her about this after all these years. And when she did not appear upset, he continued.
I didn't want William, he mused. I don't know why. Werewolves usually go after children. I wanted to go after you, he said and looked at her intently.
Elizabeth shuddered at this.
Give me some more chocolate, she said weakly.
Here.
A pair of goblets appeared above their heads and clanked themselves together, and Elizabeth pulled hers down while Lupin conjured up a prettily colored wine bottle with a silvery liquid inside.
What's this?
She whispered and took a second piece of chocolate.
Wine. Wizard wine, he replied and poured her goblet full. You remember, you've had it before.
She did not confirm or deny this.
Why were you after me?
She said suddenly.
I didn't want to kill you, he said reassuringly. Not at all. That's the odd thing. I just wanted to make you one of my own, something like that. It's hard to explain, he added when she looked rather bewildered. It's a different sort of thinking. It's what an animal has. It's very simple and instinctual.
I kept telling myself to shoot you, but I knew I wouldn't, Elizabeth blurted out. I thought I'd just keep distracting you so everybody else could get out.
Lupin said nothing, but she thought he looked at her rather oddly.
Oh, why do you look at me like that?
She said passionately.
What are you thinking?
That you're very brave, he replied quietly.
I'm not, she flushed. And it was all my fault anyway.
She drank her goblet of wine rather quickly, and they were silent for a few moments. Finally, she looked over at him and smiled. Apparently, the chocolate was kicking in.
You're rather good at that defense stuff, she said almost flirtatiously. That fiend fire dragon was great. Timothy would have loved it.
He was much more pleased with this statement, he thought. than he should have been.
"That's what the ministry pays me to do," he replied cheerfully. "It's nice to have a job." "Did you have to kick him after he was already dead?"
"Yeah," he responded and did not elaborate.
"Good," she answered readily. "I want to kick him myself. But I'm afraid of dead people."
Lupin looked her over quite carefully and frowned.
"Elizabeth, you've lost weight since Christmas. Aren't you eating?"
"Well," she flushed, "I guess I've been a bit unnerved since you showed up. That's all right, though. It's been a good side effect."
"Well, you need to stop being unnerved," he said sternly. "And you don't need to lose any more weight."
"Don't change a single thing," he thought fervently. "Nothing." And tried not to stare at the green silk clinging to her firm, generous breasts, or the flattering fall along the curve of her hip, where low-rise jeans met and hugged her shapely behind.
"Well, I think we've broken the ice,"
Elizabeth replied, and they smiled at each other briefly.
"For now, I've got other things to be unnerved about."
She looked down at the floor.
"Look," Lupin told her firmly, "don't think about this tonight. You're too tired, and it's been a really long day. I'll work on it tomorrow. Part of what an Auror does is solve crimes. I'll figure it out,"
he finished with much more confidence than he actually felt.
"I know that wasn't really him," Elizabeth said fiercely. "His soul, I mean, but that was all I knew of him. That tiny little person. I can't stand to think of someone stealing him."
She stopped talking as tears started down her face.
"Shh."
Lupin pushed a lock of hair from her wet cheek and turned her face up to his. There is some kind of strange magic in this house, he thought. It was evoking all sorts of old memories.
"We shouldn't have come here alone," Elizabeth said tearfully.
"No," Lupin sighed and looked at the fire. "I've actually been very badly behaved since I moved here."
Elizabeth gave him a half smile.
"Maybe that's because you've been around all of us."
"I think it's because I've been around you," he replied wryly. "And the fault is entirely mine."
A few moments later, Elizabeth's head dropped his shoulder, and Lupin yawned. He felt almost sick with exhaustion. "We need to go back," he thought sleepily. But he didn't think he had the energy to apparate, let alone with the side along. "I don't want her splinched because I'm so damn sleepy. Well, I was awake last night worrying about that trial, then got sentenced to Azkaban and released, and found out about the baby, and went to his grave, and killed Malfoy. Let's see, all in the last 36 hours. Bit of an eventful day," that's how Quentin would put it. When he woke up, it was just after sunrise, and they were curled up on the couch in spoon-like fashion beneath his traveling cloak.
"Elizabeth,"
he whispered quickly. "Wake her up, now, before you start kissing her neck and she wakes up and slaps you." She stirred a bit in her sleep and sighed.
"Elizabeth,"
he repeated urgently,
"wake up. I've got to get home."
She opened her eyes sleepily and rolled over towards him. "Holy fuck, this is even worse."
"What?"
she said in a bewildered voice. "I can't stand this," he thought desperately as he felt her warm breath against his neck and the weight of her breasts against his chest, and he kissed her hungrily for a long moment.
"You taste like wizard wine,"
he murmured and wrapped a thick lock of black hair around his hand.
"Sweet."
Elizabeth pulled away for just a moment, and Lupin suddenly sprang up and walked across the room.
"Did you mean what you said? About breaking it off with Victor?"
he said without looking at her.
"Yes,"
she replied decisively.
"I'm worn out with him. He thinks I'm bossy and just trying to make him miserable anyway. I guess everyone else does too."
"Well, they don't know a damn thing about it," Lupin replied angrily. "I used to do the same thing myself, you know. Try and keep him away from alcohol, yell at him to behave himself, reason with him, all that shite. He'd just start yelling that I was a bloody nag."
"Thank you,"
she whispered, and then glanced at the sunlight filtering in through the windows with a panicked expression.
"Oh, what time is it?"
She sat up immediately.
"Everyone's going to wonder where we are. I shouldn't have..."
"Excellent," he thought gloomily. Now she was giving him the embarrassed and wanting to flee look again.
"It's all right," he said wearily. "We'll go back a few hours earlier."
True to his word, they reappeared in her bedroom at 3 a.m. Elizabeth sank down on the bed and wrapped herself tightly in his cloak, realizing she felt quite bereft and alone again.
"What do you think happened with..."
She couldn't finish.
"I don't know,"
Lupin replied seriously and sat down beside her.
"I don't know, but I promise you I'll find out."
She nodded wordlessly.
"We'll get him back, and we'll have another burial if you'd like."
"Thank you,"
she whispered.
"I guess I should go to bed."
She still, he thought, appeared very pale and shaken.
Look, he paused. I'm worried about you.
I don't want to leave you, he thought suddenly. I don't ever want to leave you.
Well, you can't stay here, she said sadly. It's not like I'm divorced yet. I shouldn't have...
That was my fault, he responded immediately.
You were hardly awake.
I was awake before you were,
she replied in a mortified tone.
I just didn't open my eyes.
I suppose I wanted things to stay like they were for a while.
He was delighted with this, but restrained himself from smiling.
That is excellent. Liz, stop doing this. You're worse about making yourself feel guilty than I am,
he told her sternly and reluctantly stood up.
Will you be all right? I've this phone thing Quentin gave me,
he said and made a horrible face, as if Quentin had gifted him with a box of maggots.
Will you call me if you need anything?
She smiled at his expression.
What's your number?
Well, he mumbled.
I don't know, actually.
Elizabeth almost laughed at this.
You killed Malfoy when he came up behind you, and you hadn't even your wand. And then you did away with 6 other Death Eaters. You can't manage a cell phone.
No, he replied sheepishly.
Perhaps you'll have to instruct me.
He gave her a bit of a smirk, and she held out her hand for the phone.
There. I've put my number in. You just go to the phone book and look it up alphabetically. See? Quentin's put his in there, too, and so has William. So if you want to call either of them, you do the same thing. And hit the call button. And I got your number from the phone.
He gave the phone a wary look.
What do I do if it rings?
Elizabeth couldn't believe she was laughing on a night like this, but she laughed until she felt her stomach hurting.
You flip it open, Remus, and say hello.
When the elevator stopped on the 13th floor and Quentin stomped in, Lupin knew immediately he'd been searching him out.
What's up?
He said casually, and Quentin shot him a malevolent look.
Where in the fuck have you been? That crazy witch Trelawney was here bitching about her smashed up ball. She said you were at Potter's Bar with Elizabeth.
Why did she say that?
Lupin yawned.
Will you stop that fucking shit? She read the damn map.
I was at Potter's Bar,
Lupin replied pleasantly,
but I was working. I killed some Death Eaters and Malfoy.
You killed Malfoy?
As he'd expected, Quentin was extremely pleased with this news.
Yes, then I kicked him after he was dead. That was for you.
All was definitely forgiven, and Elizabeth forgotten, as Quentin grinned at him broadly.
Thanks. How did you know he was there?
Apparently, he escaped from St. Mungo's. There's someone he knows buried there. It was sort of a hunch.
You all right? Quentin frowned. Lupin's shirt and trousers were smeared with dirt and grass, and he had a terrible bruise and several long scratches on his face.
Never been better,
he responded with great satisfaction, and Quentin shook his head.
Have I told you you're the weirdest fucker I've ever known?
At least 1,000 times.
The elevator stopped at floor 15 and he stepped off, the door closing behind him. But not before Quentin saw him flip open his cell phone. Now that's odd, he thought to himself. He hates that bloody thing. He doesn't even know how to use it. Lupin, however, was smiling as he walked into his bedroom. Elizabeth had entered her name alphabetically as Liz. When Lupin and Teddy entered the dining hall at breakfast, Teddy clinging firmly to his father's hand, Lupin was unsurprised to hear a great deal of shouting.
And then this crazy woman got into our bedroom and said you were at Potter's Bar with Lupin!
Lady Fanshawe was screeching at Elizabeth as they entered, and Elizabeth gave him a desperately pleading look.
Are you talking about Sybil Trelawney, Caroline?
Lupin asked her coolly, and she immediately turned on him.
Yes, I suppose that's who it was. She was hollering at us about a crystal ball and told us you were at Potter's Bar with someone named Elizabeth,
she finished furiously.
Well,
Lupin replied pleasantly and sat down and picked up the prophet.
It's really none of your business now, is it?
Rosie giggled delightedly at this, but Elizabeth gave him another frantic look.
Since you apparently find it your concern, however, I was at Potter's Bar.
Lupin yawned as Caroline sniffed haughtily.
I was killing Death Eaters. I generally take Elizabeth along with me for that sort of thing,
he added amiably, and a few bursts of laughter echoed around the table.
Well, Richard bellowed out unrepentantly, I'd better not find out you've been off with my daughter. I'll shoot your damn head off, I say.
That is it, Lupin thought angrily. That's all I'm taking from that old muggle fucker.
Give it a go, then, Richard,
he responded coldly.
Magic against muggles is allowed for self-protection.
Richard turned purple with rage and stood up, spluttering.
I won't stop for this, you...
Apparently, he couldn't find any word that was dreadful enough to describe Lupin, since he finally just sat down and dug furiously into his sausage and eggs.
You aren't nearly so polite as you used to be,
Rosie told Lupin cheerfully, and William laughed.
He's getting to know everyone, he told her knowingly. She's acting more like himself.
Lupin gave William an innocent look.
You're saying I'm normally not polite?
Sure you are, William said promptly. Till you're really pissed, and then you're nasty as hell.
Lupin raised an eyebrow at this, but did not refute the statement, and their conversation was interrupted when Victor staggered up to the table and shouted,
This is the happiest day of your bloody life!
This actually quieted the group.
Lisbeth is giving me a divorce!
He pronounced triumphantly, beamed broadly, and hiccuped. And everyone at the table, except Elizabeth and Lupin, burst out laughing. Elizabeth stared down at her plate with a mortified expression, which no one seemed to notice, but they all paid attention when Lupin sprang up in a rage.
What the bloody fuck is wrong with you people? He screamed. Do you find this amusing?
Everyone shrank down in their chairs. The morning of the breakfast stunning, he appeared quite angry, they thought, but now he looked positively dangerous.
Do you think it's humorous that Elizabeth's been married to a dead-ass, worthless loser of a motherfucking drunk who makes a joke out of their divorce? Did you think this is the hardest thing she's ever done? Do any of you people ever consider her feelings at all?
Solange and Rosie immediately leapt off their chairs and rushed over to Elizabeth, and Quentin gave him a rather astonished look.
Well, all she ever does is boss at him and shout at him, Henry yelled back.
Is that so? Lupin shouted. You don't think she's had any reason to boss him. Perhaps she was trying to keep him from killing himself, which he almost did, or killing someone else, which he did do,
he finished threateningly and took a step in Henry's direction.
Yeah, you got a point,
Henry replied quickly.
Perhaps you're right, Remus, Quentin told Lupin with an impassive expression. But you needn't throw such a bloody fit. It's 7 in the damn morning.
Lupin sat down, flipped up his Daily Prophet, and said nothing.
Look, Dad! Your picture's on the front page!
Teddy squealed excitedly. Dangerous Death Eater Lucius Malfoy, killed by Ministry Auror Remus Lupin, was the headline.
Why is he so mad?
Jamie whispered to his father.
I haven't the slightest idea. He's fucking crazy is what he is. Why is he defending Elizabeth? She's a bossy old bitch.
I think it's the underdog thing. Quentin mused. He can't stand people to be picked on.
As if she can't defend herself,
Jamie hissed back. Odd thing, Quentin thought to himself. Jamie and I seem to keep having conversations lately. Elizabeth, meanwhile, was certain she was going to burst into tears. Victor's outburst had been horrifyingly embarrassing, especially when they'd all laughed, and she couldn't believe how vociferously Lupin had taken up for her. No one's ever taken up for me in my life, she thought. Solange was always comforting and consoling, but she was a peacemaker, and Rosie and her parents felt she was quite capable of defending herself. Lupin glanced in her direction, and she looked away quickly with the embarrassed and wanting to flee expression that bothered him so much. I just want to go back to bed, Elizabeth thought unhappily and pushed her plate back. This is the most awful day. She was startled to see a note appear on her lap.
Please don't go back to embarrassed. We've a mystery to solve together, don't we? Could I come by your sitting room tomorrow at 10? P.S. The Fiendfire Dragon was just done to impress you.
Elizabeth nodded her head and smiled at him, ever so slightly.